This is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Yo, I am the celebrity medium. Sometimes I just make myself laugh. You can do that, right? I'm here once again with another edition of the Celebrity Afterlife Report, the only show on the internet, or radio for that matter, that gives you the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. Got some new arrivals this week. Got some catch-ups on other things. Catch-ups? That's a word, too, right? I think so. All right, we got lots of stuff. Legendary musician Fats Domino just arrived in the next world. If you don't know who he is, that probably means you're a kid. He was one of the first generation of rockers back in ye old days. Ye oldie, that has an E on the end of it there. Old E and oldie, both have E's. There was a whole bunch of those guys who came along and they went on to influence pretty much everybody you've ever heard of in rock and roll since then. Maybe not Katy Perry, but she's not rock and roll, right? He was just one of the monster figures in the rock world. There was a huge crowd on hand to welcome him. I understand that the square where the welcoming stage is set was just shoulder to shoulder. It was packed. And Fats was very appreciative of that. You know, like a lot of the guys from the early days of rock and roll, he didn't make the kind of... I mean, I guess he was well off because of royalties on a lot of his early stuff. But, you know, he wasn't like a gazillionaire, you know? So I guess he was really happy to get that kind of appreciation at this late date. Back in August 2005, he lived in New Orleans and his house was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. He and his family lost everything they owned, but they survived the flooding. But despite that, there was a rumor going around that he had exited the earthly plane. And that took a little unraveling because he was nowhere to be found for a few days. His manager and all those people were trying to get in touch with him, and they didn't know where to find him. And I think he and his family were in a shelter, I believe. During his career, this will show you how big this guy was, he sold over 65 million records and probably made well over $10,000. Because black artists back then really got screwed by their record labels. He also had several top 40 hits, and they had thoughtfully put a piano on stage for him for his welcoming ceremony, and it didn't take a lot of cajoling to get him to sit down and play some of his songs, including the biggest one he ever had, Blueberry Hill. Ah, foul mouth reel, you know that one? He was honored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986. That was I think that was the first year of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So he was one of the early inductees, and after the little mini show he did, he kind of laughed and said to the crowd, "Where does a fella go to get a record deal around here?" And then somebody explained to him that there is no monetary system in the afterlife and money isn't needed. And Fats said, "I like the sound of that." Probably because you can't get screwed, right? There's no money to screw out of. So when he walked off stage, backstage, there was a crowd of famous rock musicians who now live in the afterlife waiting to meet him, shake his hand and pose for pictures and so forth. And my sources tell me that a lot of them wanted him to appear with them on stage. So he's obviously going to have a continuing career in the next world, and I imagine he's going to be a big star once again. Actor Robert Guillaume also arrived in the afterlife last week. His birth name was Robert Peter Williams, if anybody asks you. And if you know any French, and I know about three words in French, and two of them are oui, you know that Guillaume is the French version of Williams, so you can see where he got his stage name from. He was probably best known as Benson. It started out on a TV show called Soap, which was kind of a parody/satire of soap operas that starred Billy Crystal. And then there was a spinoff that he was the star of called Benson, that obviously he was the lead character in, and he was also the voice of Rafiki in the original version of The Lion King. And in later years, he played a character named Isaac Jaffe on a show that was much loved by critics and kind of ignored by the audience called Sports Night. Kind of about an ESPN kind of place and, you know, the various things that went on with the people there, and he was the boss. Had a pretty good sized crowd for his arrival. He was very warmly greeted by those on hand, and after he got off stage, he was approached by Gorilla Monsoon, which to this day is one of my favorite names of all time. I love the name Gorilla Monsoon. I wish my name was Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon, if you don't know, was a former wrestler and was, in later years, the talent coordinator for the Shakespeare... Well, actually, He is the talent coordinator for the Shakespearean Acting Company, owned and operated by Vince McMahon Sr., who is the father of the current chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment. Now, my sources are telling me that the elder McMahon Sr., offered Guillaume an acting job with the company. So, understandably, Guillaume said, well, tell me about the company. So, Gorilla Monsoon proceeded to explain it to him. And Guillaume laughed when he was told that it was composed largely of the cast. The permanent cast of the company is composed largely of ex-professional wrestlers, although there are a few other people in there. He kind of laughed and he said he'd kind of need to see a production by it before he could consider the offer, which is probably a polite way of saying, this sounds nuts, I don't really want to do this, but, you know, I'll watch a show and see. So Monsoon offered him front row seats for an upcoming performance of their version of The Taming of the Shrew, starring Joni Laura. Joni Laura was a wrestler named China, and she's kind of a beefy gal, and I don't mean fat, but she was very muscular for a woman. But despite that, because you wouldn't think that would work at all, she's been getting terrific reviews as the lead in The Taming of the Shrew. The critics just love this this production of it, and specifically love her, so we'll see where this whole thing goes. We have been talking for the last couple of weeks about Tom Petty and his new band, which is yet to debut, called the Earthshakers, which he said was called that because he wants them to rock hard enough to shake the earthly plane. We have known since last week that the drummer in the band is going to be John Bonzo Bonham of Led Zeppelin fame, and we've been wondering who the bass player will be because Petty had said that he had a bass player and a drummer ready to go. All right, drum roll, please. The bass player for the Earthshakers will be John Entwistle from The Who. Some people have called Entwistle the greatest bass player in rock and roll history. You may have a dispute with that, but, you know, some people, hey, what can I tell you? It turns out that he and Petty were trying to get in contact with each other. Entwistle had heard that Petty was looking for a bass player and he wanted to sign up, didn't know how to get in contact with Tom. Meanwhile, Tom Petty was trying to get in touch with him to ask him to join the band. Well, finally, through some third party whose name I do not know, they connected. And there wasn't a lot of negotiation. He says, you want to play? And Entwistle said, yes, I do. And that was pretty much it from what I'm told. So that is the lineup so far. It's Tom Petty, John Bonham, and John Entwistle. And I don't know if they need to, but, well, they're going to need probably a rhythm guitar player, right? So we may still be hearing about who's joining the band in the days and weeks to come. All right, lastly, you know, or you should know, because I've been telling you about it, damn it, that Fred Trump, father of President Donald Trump, and Fred's best friend forever, Charles Lindbergh, the pioneering aviator who was also a Nazi sympathizer, they were on a stadium tour promoting President Trump's presidency, which is dumb because nobody in the afterlife can do anything to influence what goes on the earthly plane. So what difference does it make whether people there support him or not? But Fred seemed determined to promote his son, so the two of them were touring. A couple of weeks ago, a pack of wild dogs was released into the stadium where they were appearing, and it caused such chaos that they canceled their tour, and they moved their little crusade to a cable TV show, which aired weekly, where they would say the same stuff they were saying in front of stadium crowds, except on television. And then somebody released another pack, or perhaps even the same pack of wild dogs, into the TV studio, and that screwed up that show, the taping of that show. Well, it appears that has now put an end to the TV show. They just don't want to deal with the chaos and the craziness. People just don't like them. I didn't say everybody, I said people. Some people just don't like them. So I'm left to wonder whether their wacko, irrational crusade to trump up support, see what I did there, for Fred's son, I'm wondering if it'll continue, and if so, in what form? All right, that's enough hoopla for this week. I am finished. I will lock up the Celebrity Afterlife Report studio until next time, when I'll be back with another roundup of the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. Tell your friends, your family, your neighbors, whoever. Packs of wild dogs if you encounter one. That show can be found on the App Store, you know, the Apple deal. It can be found on the Google Play Store. It can be found on YouTube. And, of course, it can be found on K-Chung Radio, AM 1630 in the sunny city of Los Angeles, on a show called Inspirado Proyecto Radio, which airs Mondays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we thank them so much for doing that. We love you. We love you, K-Chung. Okay, I'm done. I am the celebrity medium losing my mind. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 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 818-369-3732.